good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the real star of MLA, Calvin Butenhoff, on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a jam-packed show coming up for you today. Madeline Anderson and Julia Colby from the Milwaukee Public Museum are going to be joining us coming up at 10:33 to talk about BioBlitz and all of the things that are going on at the museum over the summer. So if you're looking for some things to do, especially with your kids, you want to stick around for that. 11:06, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin will be joining the show. Excited to have her back on with us. 11:33, as he does every other week, Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Radcliffe will be here to talk all things sports balls. And at 11:50, Brittany Merlot, weather and wine, will talk about how long the rain's going to last, how long the heat's going to last. That's all coming up at 11:50, so I hope you can stick around for that. We are going to start off just with a reminder, Summerfest kicks off today.
That's right.
I know. It just kind of crept up. And here it is.
Knock, knock. Who's there? $30 beers. Oh, good.
Summerfest gets underway today. When we talk to JR, we're going to share some favorite Summerfest memories. So if you have any that you would like to share with us, maybe you met your spouse there, maybe you broke up with your spouse there, whatever memories you might have of Summerfest, you can always text those in again at 855-752-4842. Last night, as I was scrolling through Twitter, All In with Chris Hayes, who's on MSNBC, came up, and we have done this occasionally the last couple months, take a trip down memory lane, because we all forget, and I am certainly guilty of that as well. I forget what did I have for dinner 2 days ago. So it's hard.
Spaghetti.
No, it's hard. What was going on 4 years ago today? So this is a special edition. This is COVID memory lane. Where were we 4 years ago under the previous administration when COVID was exploding across the country? Chris Hayes had this last night. Let's start with that first clip, Calvin, as we take a trip down COVID memory lane.
We begin, though, with a chilling statement from the head of the World Health Organization today that started with the words, "The pandemic is accelerating.
We are struggling inside of the hospital to staff our COVID patients, our regular ICU patients."
COVID deaths in our country passed a staggering 120,000 today, and there's no sign the virus is letting up.
We as a hospital, we are overwhelmed. We are at capacity. We are increasing numbers every day.
There's talks of crisis nurses coming in soon.
We were in lockdown.
Yes.
We were quarantining at home, most people were.
Yes.
And yes, I saw this pointed out the other day. Yes, gas was $1.78 because no one was going anywhere.
I remember when gas hit like 85 cents.
And because the market collapsed.
Yep.
Because the whole world was under quarantine because of this global pandemic. So Donald Trump, when he was in Racine this week, "Oh, yeah, under me, gas was $1.78. Yeah, that's because we were suffering from a global pandemic and no one was driving anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
How quickly we forget.
Yeah, and, well, they do. They do.
Selective memory?
Yeah. The economy was great.
The economy was not great.
It wasn't? They told me. Someone told me it was great.
Many people are saying.
Many people were saying.
That the economy was really great.
Yeah.
COVID memory lane. As this pandemic, as you heard in that clip, 172,000 deaths, and we would go on to lose almost 1.5 million just Americans because of this. So what does the Trump administration decide to do? Hold a rally.
Oh, yeah.
In Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah. Oh, God. The short-sightedness on every end of the planning is awesomely terrible.
Think about this.
Yeah.
The plan was for the Trump administration to hold a rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma on Juneteenth. Tulsa, Oklahoma, the site of the 1921 massacre of what was called Black Wall Street in Tulsa.
Yes.
So that was the plan. Donald Trump was going to go to Tulsa on Juneteenth to hold a rally in the middle of a pandemic. But the outcry was so great, at least about that, that they had to delay the rally until today. So it was June 20th of 2020 when Donald Trump and his entourage traveled to Tulsa, Oklahoma to hold a rally. Let's play clip number two as we travel down COVID memory lane.
For months now, large gatherings have been canceled. No concerts, no stadiums filled for sporting events. But tonight in Tulsa, Oklahoma, an arena is packed with thousands rallying for President Trump's re-election.
The president left Washington late today for a destination he has not seen in 110 days, the campaign trail.
The event in Oklahoma is unbelievable. The crowds are unbelievable.
We've seen an increase in positive cases, which we expected when we reopened.
Today, we learned six members of the president's advance team tested positive for coronavirus.
Oh.
Again, remember, there's no vaccine at this point, 4 years ago, right? So the case fatality rate is like 10x what it is post-vaccine. Six members of the president's team getting the virus in Tulsa ahead of the rally was, if nothing else, a preview of what was to come.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Six of his advance team got sick with COVID. But they held it anyway. It was really, really important for Donald Trump to be able to get up in front of people and get that love, get that adulation, regardless of the health consequences.
And let's not forget, this was June of 2020. Mm-hmm. So by the time, you know, COVID was starting to melt away, the warm weather was starting to get rid of it. Disappearing like a miracle because spring and summer is here. And that's what, you know, if bleach doesn't do it, ivermectin, harsh light to the body, the warm. So they should have been fine. It could have been seven.
Seven people? Seven?
Yeah.
Well, there is one person who got sick from that rally.
Yeah.
Let's play clip number three, Kelvin.
They will be given a mask. It's up to them whether to make that decision. CDC guidelines are recommended but not required. When you come to the rally, as if any event, you assume a personal risk. That is just what you do.
That calculation was also apparently made by former presidential candidate Herman Cain, who attended the rally in person. Cain was hospitalized with COVID less than 2 weeks later. He ultimately lost his battle with the virus the following month. Cain would not be the only one hospitalized after the rally. It was a super spreader event, with the state public health department conceding that it was, quote, likely cause of a massive surge in cases in the following weeks. That presumably came as particularly frustrating news to Donald Trump himself, who spent part of the rally admitting that he told his public health officials to slow down testing for the virus to make the case numbers appear artificially lower.
With testing, you know, testing is a double-edged sword. Here's the bad part. When you do testing to that extent, you're going to find more people. You're going to find more cases.
Yeah.
So I said to my people, slow the testing down, please.
Remember that, right? The testing was the problem, not the virus. The testing, knowing about it was the problem, not the thing. Just about everything about Trump's handling of COVID was an unmitigated disaster that we partially blocked out. But tell me, looking at that footage, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago?
Chris Hayes, All In with Chris Hayes on MSNBC. That's from last night. The rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma was held June 20th of 2020 when we were in the throes of the COVID pandemic and thousands of Americans were dying on a daily basis. And as Chris Hayes pointed out, no, the virus wasn't the problem. The testing is the problem.
Yes.
Donald Trump also said at one point that there was a cruise ship. Do you remember this? There was a cruise ship that he didn't want to allow to come to port because that would increase the number of cases if people on board were sick.
I don't even remember that. Holy cow. The things that we forget.
Yes. Because you want to block it out. How could that be? How could that be? Another thing to remember, in the first presidential debate, Trump had COVID.
Yes. And this is something I've been holding back a little bit, but he got treatment using a medication that contains stem cells.
Was that widely known at the time?
Not immediately. And then it came out that he's the president. Regardless of who the president is, whether I agree with it, they are going to get the most advanced medicine,
certainly,
treatment. And that makes sense. I get that. And that medication did contain stem cells in it. Oopsie doodles.
855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Gary from Sussex joins us on the phone. Good morning, Gary. What did you want to say?
I got two things I want to talk about. One of them is that I never got the shot, never. I had COVID twice. The very first time I had it, and I'm 72,
mm-hmm.
Okay? Very first time I had it was the sickest I ever been. And if it wasn't for my wife, if I was a single bachelor, I would have died because I wouldn't have eaten anything. All I wanted to do was sleep.
Right, yeah.
My wife kept on giving me food. I lost 15 pounds, and I was getting dehydrated, so she's always giving me water. I gargled with apple cider vinegar every single day, and then I sat outside in the sun, and that actually helped. I started feeling much better, and I was sick, and I own a heating business, and you know, I couldn't do anything. Now, the other thing I want to bring up is how last night I was watching everybody talking about the fake videos. Are you guys buying into that, fake videos?
Of what? Of who?
What are you specifically referring to, Gary?
Yeah.
Well, last night on all the shows, they're sitting there talking about the Republicans are editing and making fake videos. So when Biden's up there and Obama's ushering him off the stage, or he's babbling about, we're in the middle of a sentence, he's babbling words that don't even make any sense. And they said that Republicans are making fake videos using AI and all sorts of stuff.
Well, there has been some selective editing, Gary, and particularly when they were in Normandy for the anniversary of D-Day. Mm-hmm. And it's been shown that, I believe Fox News, shocker, I know, President Biden turned around to talk to a paratrooper who was kneeling down behind him. They clipped that off, Gary, so that it would look like
he was talking to no one,
that he just turned around and he was talking to no one. So that does happen. It does. Thank you for calling, Gary. As always, thank you for listening.
And thank you, Gary. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for acknowledging that you had COVID instead of saying what some people say is the flu or a cold. You had COVID.
And you got really sick.
And you got better. Thank you very much. And thanks to your wife.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're glad you got better. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us at 855-752-4842 or leave a comment on the live stream, Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Or you can also email us if you have a suggestion for a guest or something going on in your community that you would like us to highlight, an issue, a nonprofit, something wonderful that's happening where you are. Always feel free to email us at janesays, JaneSays, janesays at civicmedia.us. We just took a little walk down COVID memory lane. We forget where we were 4 years ago. That keeps getting asked now. Were we better off 4 years ago today? Yeah, not so much. 172,000 Americans were dead of COVID on this date 4 years ago. Donald Trump held a rally in the midst of the pandemic. Ben Carson was there. I'm sorry, Ben Carson is...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Ben Carson was there, but it was Herman Cain.
Herman Cain, I'm Herman sorry. Cain. Herman Cain is the one who was there, who got sick of COVID and died.
Yeah.
And even the public health officials in Tulsa said, this was kind of a super spreader event. I hate when that happens.
And on top of that, like we won't get into this right now, but just the fact that they were going to Tulsa on June the 20th, when they were supposed to be there on the 19th, which is Juneteenth Day, which if you don't know why that's relevant, look it up. We can't go into it now. But the
just
whole
look
thing,
up the Tulsa massacre.
The whole thing was a blunder from top to bottom. So.
And then, of course, we just played some sound from the former president saying, I don't want more testing, because when we do more testing, we just get more cases.
Slow the testing.
Yeah. So if we don't test, apparently COVID's going to go away. Tony on the live stream says, just like the Supreme Court with Alito, the real problem is knowing about the problem.
Yep.
Absolutely. And this brings me to something else.
Live stream comment of the day.
And I rarely do this just because I don't need all the hate. But I went to our YouTube page.
Yeah.
And they had a short clip of us discussing last week.
Yeah.
Samuel Alito on the Supreme Court, very upset with the media because the public doesn't like the Supreme Court now, and it's the media's fault for reporting on all the fancy gifts that they get and luxury trips and all that stuff. So I just checked the comments under the clip. It's remarkable to me.
Oh, it's...
The first one was, well, you're obviously part of the swamp. Okay. The other one was, you are either ignorant or a liar.
Now, can I be both?
But no one pointed out my lies.
Yeah.
It's just, you're a liar. You're lying about that.
Yeah.
Well, everything that we reported about Alito and Thomas and all the money they've gotten and all the gifts they've gotten, that's widely reported.
Yeah.
I didn't just pick that out of the sky. Just make it up. And if I make a mistake, absolutely. Tell me. I don't want to be giving wrong information.
But show your work.
Well, yes. Don't just say, you're a liar.
Yeah.
And then, ooh, you really, ow, you showed me, man. Ooh.
I just love the fact that, you know, just going, thinking about it, Justice Alito got really angry because he felt like it was the media's fault that there was a skewed vision of the court right now. So what does he do? He tells the media about it. What a smart guy.
Yeah, that was great. And just very briefly, I know Earl spent a lot of time on this, and justifiably so. Louisiana announcing yesterday that the governor, Jeff Landry, yesterday now requires that all public classrooms display the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
This is going to be challenged, obviously. I'm sure the ACLU and Freedom From Religion Foundation, and it's gonna get challenged. But
I'm pretty sure I saw within 20 to 25 minutes a tweet from the ACLU saying we are suing.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's blatantly unconstitutional.
Yeah, this is just, it's almost like they're trying to get attention now. You know what I mean? Like they know it's going to be tied up in court. They know it's going to be a problem, but they're like, let's see what we can do about it. Yeah.
Where's the win?
That's just it. They're never concerned about the win. Like if, let's say at the end of the day, the Supreme Court comes down and says, you know what? You're fine. Put them up. We don't care. Put them up. Knock down that wall between religion and the state. But they don't really care about the win. They don't care about the results. They love the reaction. That's what fuels them.
You're probably right.
Because that's what fuels the fire of the people, which gains attention, gains money, news coverage. And that's what they care about. They do not care about the win. They don't care if the Ten Commandments, at least the governor doesn't care. They care about the reaction. They like getting on the news. They like their followers saying, you're wrong for not loving the Ten Commandments like we love them.
And we're all Satanists, apparently.
Yes.
Because there's a
godless heathen.
There's a woman running for school board, or to be the school board president in North Carolina, who essentially said, if you don't follow Jesus, you're a Satanist. Okay.
All right.
And I rarely post anything on Twitter. I tend to be much more of a lurker. But after this came out about Louisiana public schools being forced to hang the Ten Commandments, I posted this last night. Is this so teachers can point to all the commandments that Trump has broken? Because I think that could be a really useful teaching tool.
I mean, he's broken. I think with the exception of, I will make no statements or accusations, but other than
do that.
I think he's broken all of them.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Gotten pretty close.
He's 9 for 10.
Give him time.
Yeah.
Give him time. Yeah.
Well, COVID. What? I'm sorry.
We do have another clip. A little irreverent, perhaps.
Classic comedy.
It is a classic comedy clip from History of the World.
Part one.
This is Mel Brooks.
Brooks.
Brooks. Mel Brooks.
More than one Brooks.
As Moses. Take a listen.
Lord, I shall give these laws unto thy people. Hear me. Oh, hear me. All pay heed. The Lord Jehovah has given unto you these 15, ten commandments for all to obey.
There were supposed to be 15. He dropped one. Well, I hate when that happens.
That's what people are saying. That's what people have said, that there are 15 commandments. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've known that.
I do now. Thanks to that movie.
Yeah, exactly.
This is what you learn from comedy.
Exactly.
It's very, very useful. All right. News is...
Sometimes we're silly.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Perhaps a little sarcastic. Not me. Coming up, we have the news on the way. And when we return, very excited to have our guests from the Milwaukee Public Museum joining us, Julia Colby and Madeline Anderson. And we're going to talk about the Bio Blitz and all the other wonderful, wonderful things that are happening at the Milwaukee Public Museum over the summer. So if you're looking for some activities for you or your kids, or you can do as a family, they have all kinds of programs. We're going to learn all about that. Coming up next, stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network. Morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call or you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform Elon continues to actively ruin. We are very excited to have our next guests here from the Milwaukee Public Museum. Julia Colby is the Milwaukee Public Museum's Zoology Collections Manager, and Madeline Anderson is the museum's Director of Communications. Good morning, ladies. Thank you so very much for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
Morning. Thank you.
We are delighted to have you here and excited to learn about BioBlitz. So what is BioBlitz, and how can we get involved, and what do I need?
So a BioBlitz is a 24-hour rapid survey of a site, so a park, a nature center, something like that, where we send out teams and teams of scientists and surveyors to go count whatever they can count. And on this Saturday, from 10 to 3, there's activities for the public. So our educators will be on site. A bunch of our really great community partners will be on site with fun things for the whole family to do. And of course, people are welcome to go explore the site on their own and see what they can find.
Where is the site this year, Julie?
Julia. It's Mequon Nature Preserve, which is in Mequon on County Line Road, and we're really excited to be partnering with them this year.
So you send out teams of researchers and scientists, and they're collecting. Is it just bugs, or is it more than bugs?
It's everything. So there's a botany team that goes out and identifies all the plants. There's entomologists who go out and identify all the bugs. There's birders. There's mammalogists. There's people looking at snakes and turtles and probably not going to find any lizards, but frogs, all that stuff. Occasionally we have a specialist working on spiders this year. We have a specialist who works on like algae and fungi. So all sorts of stuff.
Julia, you said the magic word here at Matt and Air on Air, and that word was birders. Jane is a bird enthusiast, loves birds. We'll talk about birds, whether sometimes you like it or not. What are the things when it comes to are there specific things you're looking for, like with birds or with anything? Or is it just go out, find what you can, come back and report?
Yeah, if you can see it and put a name on it, mm-hmm. or even if you can't put a name on it, but you're sure nobody else has seen it, we want to know. So, Jane, bring your binoculars and join us.
Jane, what did you see? I saw birds.
I saw many birds. There were birds.
Yeah, there you go.
Of all different birds. What is the goal of this, Julia? Is it to keep track of how we are doing with various species and see what numbers are growing and potentially what numbers are declining?
Yeah, so because of the way we're collecting the data, it's not really good for big conclusions like that because it's just 24 hours that we're doing. And you need a little bit more long-term data to sort of keep track of stuff like that. The goal is sort of twofold. One, we're providing this list of everything we find to our hosts at MechWan. And they've done a lot of really great restoration work on the site over the last 20 years. And so this is really a way for them to figure out, you know, what's working, what's not, what they have, what they don't. If we find something they weren't expecting, that's always really exciting. And then the other part of this is to get the public excited about the nature that's often in their backyard. It's very easy to go to a site like MechWan Nature Preserve or your local park and just walk through and with your dog or your kids and be like, oh yeah, there's a flower and there's a tree. But the real story is just so much more complex. And unless you sort of stop and look, or you have somebody say, hey, look at all these 10 things that we found in this square foot. Sometimes it's really hard to judge that.
I was going to ask Julia, how long has the BioBlitz been going on?
This is our 9th year. We started in 2015 at Schlitz Audubon, and we've done a different site for the last 9 years. But BioBlitzes themselves started in the early 90s, and there's a BioBlitz going on basically every weekend, often in nice weather, in the summer. We don't do a ton of them in the winter.
Sure.
Probably all over the country, there's one going on somewhere.
And so if people show up this Saturday, and this is at the MechWan Nature Preserve, mm-hmm. they can go along with some of these researchers and talk about algae specifics?
Yeah. I mean, so the surveyors will be at base camp doing researchers. Obviously, if you run into them in the field, go ahead and chat with them. We do have guided activities for the public. So we'll have bird walk, butterfly walk. There's the Mycological Society, I think, is doing a walk, which is fungi for all of you not in the know. And then I think the Dragonfly Society is also taking folks out on a walk. So there'll be targeted things like that. There'll be fun activities at base camp. So I know we have owl pellets, make your own plant press. So there's a lot of chances to interact with surveyors. Oh, and then MechWan Nature Preserve has conservation dogs who have been trained to smell out. They can detect salamanders, bumblebees, and then I think a bunch of invasive species. And so there'll be demonstrations of the dogs doing their job as well.
That's awesome.
You could teach a dog to smell out a bumblebee. I can't teach my dog to go outside sometimes. My God, that's amazing. Now, Julia, you said that because the nature of it is, no pun intended, is 24 hours, there's not a lot of long-term determinations, but because they happen all over the country all the time, is there a central library, if you will, of all these BioBlitzes coming together and saying, all right, we know this in Indiana and this in Arizona, or is it sort of just they're all separate and they all do their own thing?
They're pretty much all separate, and they're not run on the same. Each one is sort of an individual beast, okay. If you will. So I don't really think you could draw, again, long-term comparisons or long-term data mm-hmm. just because somebody saw something once.
Sure.
Yeah. We do try and keep our data. Our data is on our website from year to year for folks to refer back to. But because we're doing such different sites and the weather is so different, like, you can't really draw a lot of through lines there.
Gotcha.
If you're just joining us, Julia Colby is with us. She's the Milwaukee Public Museum's Zoology Collections Manager, and Madeline Anderson is the Director of Communications for the Milwaukee Public Museum, and we're talking about the BioBlitz that is happening this Saturday at the MechWan Nature Preserve. What a great way to get your kids involved in nature. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I am so much more interested in bugs and birds now that I'm in my 60s than I ever was when I was a kid.
I think it's an acquired taste like broccoli.
Oh, you said that with such confidence and such resolve. I love that. Like, it's not the first time you've said that.
It is not.
But I always think, you know, we talked to PJ Leash, who's the head of the insect diagnostic lab at UW-Madison. And he has told us how when he was a kid, he loved being outside and looking at bugs. And that's what led him to this career path. So if your kids are curious or, you know, like being outside, I just think it's such a great training ground.
Yeah.
And a great way to spark their imagination and their curiosity and get over some of the ew, icky bug thing.
Yeah, and that's, I think, for me, one of the funnest parts of this event. Like, I like all of it, but the surveyors all got into doing what they do or their hobby of whatever it may be because they were those kids. And it's really nice to give them the chance to just go out and do their thing.
Mm-hmm. Were you that kind of a kid, Julia?
I absolutely was.
Madeline, did you get in the dirt when you were a kid, too?
I was going to say, I was the opposite.
Me too.
Which is why I'm in communications.
That's all right.
Talk about it, but don't do it.
Well, you work hand in hand. You can promote it, and then Julia actually can go do the thing.
I will say, I did go out there to Mequon Nature Preserve with Julia on Monday, and I mean, I didn't even go into the 500 acres, and I already saw big bullfrogs. We saw a warbler and a nest. So, I mean, right off the bat, you can see a lot of cool wildlife. And that was really exciting for me. And I have little kids, so I'm excited to bring them too.
I bet that's just perfect for little ones. And too, Julia, as you pointed out, you're with experts who know what they're looking for. So I too could wander around 500 acres and just think, well, I saw two things, you know, and there's probably 9,000 things that without the trained eye, you're not going to recognize.
Yeah. And I mean, I will say a lot of our surveyors, you know, they have day jobs that we wouldn't necessarily think of them as scientists, but they do. They have that interest and they have that passion. And, you know, they may have a job working in IT or something like that, but they're really good at what they do and they go out. And it's one of those things where, like, everybody can do science and science is for everybody. And you don't necessarily need a PhD or a lab coat to be doing it.
That's really encouraging.
I want to write that. That is a beautiful sentiment. I love that idea because I feel like, you know, especially, I mean, I, as a young person, I did not excel in science classes. I now love science, but when I was younger, I didn't excel. So I thought, well, this isn't for me. I'm not good at science. So I just won't do science ever. And now thinking back, like, oh, I had to find my lane.
Right.
I mean, it may not be putting on a lab coat and going to a laboratory, but maybe it's going out and looking at birds and documenting them or finding what your thing is. Because I think, yeah, there's every level of science can attract a person to it and really spark that interest. And I think that's great that you're doing this specific event because it seems, even though it's a nature-driven thing, it's all inclusive as far as like we're looking at all these different groups and then next year we'll be somewhere else looking at all new stuff and there'll be dogs there. And that really makes me happy.
Well, and this is a way to, we have so many wonderful parks in our area. And I think these are gems in our own backyard that a lot of people don't even consider, even though you've lived in that neighborhood for 30 years and you've never been there.
Yeah, it's definitely a way to give folks a different connection to the spaces that they use all the time. And ultimately, those are your spaces. You're connecting yourself to, you know, the food you eat and the water you drink, the air you breathe, and having sometimes just a different way to look at that. Even if you don't want to be able to identify every species of lichen in that park, like, that's still important for you to understand that there's diversity there. And we often think of diversity as something that happens halfway across the globe in the rainforest, but there's a lot of diversity everywhere, including your own backyard.
I was going to say too, I think it's important to really say that because, you know, I'm not going to get into the politics of it all, but, you know, as far as nature and conservation, it's important to people to say this, yeah, this is where the goodness comes from, our water, our food, all those things. And it's important to recognize them, to protect them, and to be able to share them for future generations. Because, you know, you drive past parks, you drive past huge swaths of beautiful greenery. And then, you know, maybe 5 years later, there's a warehouse sitting there. But those are beautiful things we need to protect and take care of.
Julia Colby is the Milwaukee Public Museum's Zoology Collections Manager, and Madeline Anderson is the museum's Director of Communications. We're talking about BioBlitz that is happening this Saturday at the Mequon Nature Preserve. What are the hours again, Julia, if people want to come out with their kids?
10 to 3. And at 3, we'll be announcing all of the cool stuff we found and maybe some highlights, and then we'll all be going home.
in the last few seconds before, because we're up against a break, but we want to, can you stick around for one more segment? Because we want to talk to Madeline about all the cool stuff this summer at the museum. Really quick, Julia, what's the coolest thing you think that's ever been found where you're like, oh my gosh?
I would say at every event we find something that either the park didn't know they had. Occasionally we'll find stuff that has never been recorded in the state before. Wow, that's pretty special. Cool. Or it's just, hey, here's this neat little habitat of this little tiny pocket, and it supports all this stuff, and nobody knew it was there, and nobody knew these species were there. So it's always special to find something like that.
Do you have a favorite bug?
That's like choosing a favorite child.
Oh.
So no.
Okay, not going to pick one bug over another.
No. Wink.
We know it's fireflies. No, I don't know. We are going to continue our conversation about all the wonderful things happening at the Milwaukee Public Museum. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away. People without names. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text, same number, 855-752-4842, or download the absolutely free Civic Media app, and you can call and text directly from the app on any station, any show, all across the Civic Media Radio Network. So download the app today. Also want to give a shout out to our Scotty Summer Statewide Text to Win Contest winners, just a couple of them. We had the Dell's Prize Package winners, a whole bunch of them. Rose from Waukesha and Andy from Madison picked up those. Charles from Rubicon and Brody from Richland Center got Brewers Club level seats. And our two grand prize winners who get to select their own staycation, Tori in Kewaunee and Tammy in Baraboo. Well done, ladies. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful time. And thanks to everyone who participated. It was a great deal of fun. If you are just joining us, Julia Colby is here along with Madeline Anderson with the Milwaukee Public Museum. And we were talking about the BioBlitz that is happening this Saturday at the Mequon Nature Preserve. But Madeline, the museum has all kinds of programs going all summer long, right?
Yeah, so starting in July 22nd through August 17th, we're going to have our first ever Dino Days of summer. So we're encouraging people to beat the heat during the dog days of summer. See what we did there?
Nice.
Come to the museum, and we're going to explore all things dinosaurs. And it's all included, you know, with general admission, or if you're a member, it's free. So we will have our museum educators on the exhibit floors Monday through Friday. And they're going to have some stations set up around the museum, and they're going to talk about how to identify a fossil, how to tell the difference between a dinosaur and other prehistoric creatures, how dinosaur species get their names, and then the story behind one of the first paleontologists. We're also going to have some films playing on our dome theater, so one called T-Rex, and then one called Did an Asteroid Really Kill the Dinosaurs? And then last but not least, we're going to have a special family dino trivia night that's going to be Thursday, July 25th. So we still have tickets available. Get yours soon because these tend to sell out pretty quickly. And bring your family, bring your friends, test your dinosaur knowledge, and of course, compete for the title of MPM Dino Trivia Champ. The most important part.
Absolutely.
I would watch that. I could not participate because I feel like I'd be like T-Rex for every answer. Because right. I love dinosaurs, but I don't know enough to participate like that.
There is something magical about dinosaurs, though, to kids.
Oh, absolutely. I mentioned earlier, I have two kids and, you know, the dinosaur exhibits are definitely their favorites. And we're doing this, you know, because it's inspired by some of our dinosaur exhibits. So we have the Hell Creek diorama, which depicts, you know, the life-size recreation of a very hungry T-Rex feeding on a not-so-lucky Triceratops. And you have the lightning and the thunder in the background to really bring the scene to life. So that'll be the backdrop for a lot of these activities. And then the other big dinosaur exhibit that we have is the Torosaur skeleton. And for those who don't know, Torosaur, similar to Triceratops, but doesn't have three horns, has two. And this specimen is actually pretty unique in the fact that it is the skull is one of the largest in the entire world.
Wow.
This was a specimen that MPM researchers and volunteers discovered in Montana back in the 80s. So you can learn, you know, the history behind that too. If you, you know, if you're not good at dinosaur trivia, you can learn a lot if you come to it or if you come to the museum and yeah, can get that backstory.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
There's an event for you.
I think so.
There's an event for you.
I think I have to do a live broadcast from Dino Days at the museum. I think that's...
We would love that.
That would be great.
You mentioned, Madeline, that this dinosaur skull was found in Montana. And I know that they've made some discoveries in the Dakotas as well. Is Wisconsin a good place, Julia, to look for fossils and you know, dinosaur fossils?
I don't think any have ever been found, right?
Yeah, so it's a good place to look for fossils from the Cretaceous and the Devonian, which is pre-dinosaur. So at that time, or it's not necessarily pre-dinosaur, but like at that time, Wisconsin was in a shallow sea. And so you're looking for sea creatures.
Okay.
So you could go to basically any beach, especially along Lake Michigan. And if you know what you're looking for, you can find fossils of sea creatures. There are no dinosaur fossils known from the state. And we think I think as an entomologist, let me point this out, not a paleontologist. So the glaciers came through and all of the stuff that would have been above that seafloor would have been scraped away.
Can you stay here forever and talk about this stuff? Seriously, if we're not talking about space, I want to talk about this.
It's just so interesting. And I think one of the reasons why we love doing this show is because of all the things we learn. Yeah. From guests like you and other people we have from different industries in Wisconsin and different parts of Wisconsin. And I think it's fascinating. And the more we know, the more appreciation we have for everything that's around us.
Yeah, exactly.
And we do have exhibits. Our Silurian Reef exhibit does depict what Milwaukee basically would have looked like before the dinosaurs about 425 million years ago, as Julia was referencing, when we were covered by a shallow tropical sea.
We were tropical at one point?
Yeah, at that point, you know, we would have been part of a supercontinent. Yeah. So the way that the world works is because the map, all the continents have drifted apart. And at that time, we would have been at the equator. What
wow.
is now Wisconsin would
oh,
have been
wow.
at the equator.
I love this so much.
Head blown. Join the Milwaukee Public Museum. It's a wonderful resource, Madeline. If someone is thinking about a membership, what should they do? Where can they go?
Yep. So you can go to our website, mpm.edu. And I'm glad you brought that up, too, because we are coinciding our member appreciation celebration with Dino Days of Summer. So July 22nd through August 17th, not only can you enjoy Dino Days for free if you become a member, but since we're doing this special celebration, you also could enter yourself for a chance to win a variety of prizes, such as a night at the museum where you and eight guests can actually do a flashlight tour after hours through the exhibit halls. And then, you know, we're also going to be giving away swag bags, MPM swag bags for members. And this is my favorite one, $150 gift certificate to Culver's, which I think, you know, will supply you custard for the rest of the summer.
Julia Colby and Madeline Anderson from the Milwaukee Public Museum, thank you so very, very much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Stay with us. News is next. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you feel like